It isn't necessary to understand the original circumstances that gave rise to the verses from Isaiah we've heard spoken and sung tonight to feel and understand their import. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the space of six verses, Isaiah carries us with his poetry from the darkness of fear to lightness and joy, from despair to hope, from terror to peace. Isaiah's words fit so perfectly, it's hard to believe that originally they didn't have anything to do with the birth of Christ. They announced the birth of another Davidic king who lived nearly 8 centuries before Jesus of Nazareth. Yet they proclaim the hope that Christians have come to place in Jesus. So we say and sing these words to ourselves each Christmas, and nowhere more powerfully than in Handel's Messiah. Thank you, choir, for rendering them so beautifully tonight. As we hear them again, we rekindle the gift of God that is within us, a faith that confirms it's true. A light has shined in the darkness, which the darkness cannot overcome. We need this Christmas season remembrance. We need it because, like the ancients to whom Isaiah spoke, we have seen and heard more than our share of garments rolled in blood. We have buried too many young bodies and shared the anguish of too many grieving parents, especially in recent days. We need this remembrance because, for some reason, as a people, our attention seems to be captured and our collective grief engaged only when death comes violently to 20 children at once. We have grown so accustomed to it happening one young person at a time that we hardly notice, especially as it happens so often in poor neighborhoods where people of color live. We say that's just how it is in our country, though if we added up those deaths, they'd amount to more than 6 Sandy Hook massacres every single year, year after year after year. We need this remembrance because we've grown so accustomed to war, both at home and abroad, that it hardly ever even makes front page news anymore. Who can say you're really following what's going on day to day in Afghanistan, where we remain very much at war after 11 years? Those who have business interests there, maybe. Those who have friends and family members serving over there, surely. As G.K. Chesterton once said, only where Christ was homeless are you and I at home. We have hands that fashion and heads that know, but our hearts we lost how long ago. We are a people who walk in darkness. Yet Isaiah proclaims those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Interesting that Isaiah does not say God banished the darkness. As a friend recently noticed, when a child is afraid of the dark, we don't turn off the dark, we turn on the light. Try as we might to turn off the dark, to strengthen gun control laws or mitigate against the slaughter of innocents by placing armed guards in every school and every movie theater, every shopping mall or meeting of a political leader with his or her constituents. Try as we might, we will never fully succeed in turning off the dark. And even if one might call it a viable public policy, placing an armed guard at every corner can be called a lot of things, but peace isn't one of them. Casting more darkness into an already dark world isn't a solution. We need to turn on more light. In Jesus of Nazareth, God entered our humanity and showed us what a truly enlightened human being looks like. The best of what we can be when humans are united with the desires and purposes of God. Those who good and righteous people dismissed, Jesus dignified with companionship. He spent most of his time with the poor and those we would now call mentally ill, with sinners and outcasts of all kinds, the homeless, the destitute, the gangbangers of ancient Israel. Rather than deepening their isolation and alienation from society, he sought to end it. When the rich young man came and asked him, "Master, how can I inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Go and sell your possessions and give them to the poor." Even though the man proved himself incapable of taking Jesus' advice, Jesus proved himself always ready to release us from that which imprisons us. In this case, our captivity to needing more. Jesus prayed for those who despised him and sought to harm him, and he asked us to do the same. And instead of lashing out in retaliation against those who would kill him, when he himself became the innocent victim of violence, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Much like the father of that little girl who spoke just a day after his daughter's death in Newtown, of being more determined than ever to live compassionately, about needing to ensure that more good would come out of what happened to his daughter and not more evil. Though we are, as a nation, more in touch right now with our fear of the dark, the answer is not to release more bullets into the world. The answer is to release more forgiveness, more gentleness, more compassion and generosity, more encouragement of those we have previously cast aside, more acceptance of those we don't understand. As you may know, our parish has developed a very strong bond with a woman named Millicent Hill, also known as Mama Hill. She's a retired LAUSD school teacher who began what you can really only call a rescue operation out of her own home in the year 2000. Too many young people were dying in drive-by shootings in her neighborhood in Watts. Too many young girls were getting pregnant when they were still babies themselves. There was too much anger, too much self-loathing among the kids she'd begun tutoring after school. Every time another child was shot, a few neighbors would gather and light candles at the site of the shooting. A few prayers would be said, and then everyone would go home, till it happened all over again a few weeks later. There were no news cameras, only a handful of people in her neighborhood who saw this for the crisis it was. Mama Hill's help was started by Mama Hill with the support of those handful of neighbors who felt more had to be done than the saying of a few prayers. Their prayers ignited a flame, and they started anger management and conflict resolution training for the kids. They brought in ex-gang members to talk to the kids about the dangers of gangs. They started teaching them music and art appreciation and job skills training. If we want a different future for these kids, Mama said, then we need to start lighting candles for them while they live. We may not be able to turn off the dark, but may the light of Christ be rekindled in us this Christmas and for the days to come. And let the world be brighter because we chose not to curse the darkness, but to light the light. Amen.